Welcome back, everyone, to Movie Geek and Proud, the show where there are no guilty pleasures in film. Fuck the haters and be proud of your taste. I'm your host, Rob, with another Rob's Rewind. This is where I rewatch a film in my collection and see if it holds up. To stay on the shelf, it has to score a 4 or above out of 5, or get tossed and traded for a store credit, figuratively anyway. Let's start the show.
Welcome to an extraordinary world filled with magic and wonder. Open your mind and let yourself go to a place where every day is Halloween and every night Jack Skellington.
I am the Pumpkin King!
Dreams of something different.
What is this?
It's someplace new.
Jack, look out!
What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair.
What is this?
Haven't you heard of peace on earth and goodwill toward men?
Touchstone Pictures presents the enchanting story of two very special dreamers and the holiday spirit that brought them together. From the imagination of Tim Burton comes The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And what did Santa bring you, honey?
Welcome to the Christmas episode of Movie Geek and Proud. I am Rob, your host, and I am here with Brad from Cinema Guys.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show, and thank you for doing this review with me.
Oh, absolutely. This is like one of my all-time favorite movies. So when you asked me, I was like, well, heck yeah, I will do that movie.
Very good. Well, yeah, I have been wanting to do this for a while, and this, I think, will be an interesting conversation because this review obviously is going to be a very positive one. I don't think either one of us dislikes this movie, but I do have a little bit of questions that I'll ask Brad, and we'll see exactly where on the scale is this movie compared to others and things like that. So first off, in case no one has seen this movie, and I know there are some out there in the world, originally, this premiered back in 1993 on October 29th, aka supposedly Hocus Pocus Day, and we'll get into that later. This is a PG film at an hour and 16 minutes. It is a stop motion done by characters and story of Tim Burton, but it was adapted for screenplay by Michael McDowell and Caroline Thompson, and directed by Henry Selick. Not many people know this. They all believe that Tim Burton did everything. And this is not one of those films.
It is true. A lot of people think it's a Tim Burton movie. I mean, it is his story.
Yes.
But he didn't direct the film.
So this movie is about Jack Skellington, who is the king of Halloween Town. He discovers Christmas Town, but his attempts to bring Christmas to his home causes confusion. Some stars who voiced in this movie, Danny Elfman, again, I was maybe 2 years old when I found out that he was the singing voice and Chris Sarandon was the Jack voice.
Oh, yes.
Along with Catherine O'Hara, Paul Rubens, and other Tim Burton family members who decided to come in and help him out with the voice casting. I guess let's start with your relationship with the movie. You said that you really enjoy it. Do you happen to watch it every year?
I do. I saw this originally in the theater when it was released in 93. I had just started college to age myself there. I was a freshman in art school, and stop motion animation, especially the style, was, I mean, it was, this movie was like made for me. Stop motion is one of my favorite genres of animation. So I was like, I need to see this. This just looks so good. And I was blown away. Like, the music's catchy. It just gets in your head. Like, I think I left the theater going, you know, this is Halloween. This is Halloween. And exactly. It just sticks. And I watch it every year, and just watched it again recently for, you know, this year. And it's one of those movies you can watch in Halloween or Christmas. It's kind of it works on both.
Yeah, when I first watched this was a movie I watched with my brother and his son at the time. And this was his first, well, I don't know if it was his first movie, but it was my first movie with him. And it started this thing with the three of us, and we would go to the movies all the time together. And then as he got a little older, he would stay with me and I would take him to the movies on my own. But this was the first time he and I had went to the movies together, and it was fun to watch this child enjoy something like Nightmare Before Christmas. It was awesome. Also with this movie, I, again, like you, this is Halloween. Like, I was like, this song is amazing. I love it. It sounds so good. And it definitely became a tradition for me. I try and watch it every year. There was a period of time where I would attempt to go see it at the theater every year, because they would come out with different versions and things like that each year. So that was always fun. But it's always a movie that I love turning to around Halloween or Christmas time.
Yes.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you believe that this is more of a Halloween movie or Christmas movie to you?
And see, I think it's a good mix of both, because I know the story is Christmas based. I know he's, you know, trying to take all this, what he learned in Christmas Town, and kind of take over and do it as his own. But it's Halloween characters set in Halloween Town. So, I mean, to me, that's why I said it can go either way. I think it's a equal Halloween / Christmas movie.
So are you watching it both at around Halloween?
There have been times, yes, I've watched it twice in the year, Halloween and Christmas, and it can go either way. Or, you know, some years I might only watch it in Halloween and not Christmas, or might watch it Christmas and not Halloween.
It works. I when I was rewatching this film and preparing for the review, it dawned on me that I honestly don't watch this on Halloween. I particularly watch this during Christmas time, and it's not on purpose. It just happened that way. And I think it also is in protest of the fact that Hocus Pocus is Halloween, while Nightmare Before Christmas is Christmas.
Right in the name too.
Like, yes. That's just the way that my life has done it. And I don't veer from the script, and I have more allegiance to Hocus Pocus. So I view that on Halloween, but no, yeah, like you said,
I don't have that allegiance. So to me, it can work.
It can go either way. All right. So we both enjoy this movie, but on its replay value, what do you think is so great about this that you can rewatch it multiple times? Or do you happen to find somewhat of an annoyance? Do you see like a part of the movie that's a little like blah, or is it still enjoyable as if the first time?
It's still enjoyable, because I love singing along whenever I'm watching it. I love all the characters, like Jack. We all love Jack and Sally and the scientist, the mayor. I love the mayor with his head that flips around when he's got his two different emotions. Lock, Shock, and Barrel are actually my favorite characters in the film.
Okay.
I just love the little trick-or-treating kids that are working for Oogie Boogie and kind of doing their own thing. Like, it's got great characters, great music, and it's just fun. And it hasn't lost any luster for me at all.
That's such an accomplishment to be able to create a movie like that that does not lose its touch after how many times of watching it each year.
Yeah. And I mean, stop motion animation, I mean, Henry Selick went on and did, you know, James and the Giant Peach, which as weird as it is, it's still enjoyable. But then he went on to make probably my second favorite animated film, Coraline.
Yes.
And it kind of has that darkness to it too that I love, and I love all of Laika's stuff because that's all they do is stop motion animation, so it's just I love it all.
no it's pretty good. You mentioned your favorite character. I was gonna ask that. It's Lock, Shock, and Barrel. So mine actually is between, this is so weird and random, but I love the mayor. I think the mayor is comic gold.
Yes, and especially when he's looking for Jack, and then Jack's not there, and his head flips around. He's like, Jack!
Yeah. That mood just changes. It's so great. But then I also have this soft spot for the vampires. I just like how they're all together, and it's the accent, the rolling of the R's. I don't know what it is. I just like the vampires when they're together. I just think they're cool. All of them are different sizes. Like, they don't discriminate one bit in the vampire realm.
I mean, all the characters are very, they have a cliche to them, but they do it in a fun little way that you're just like laughing, like, oh, this is a cool little character. Like,
love it. So what is your favorite song?
It would probably either be What's This or This Is Halloween.
Okay.
And what's funny is with What's This, I was talking to my wife about it. My one little gripe I've always had with this movie is around What's This, when it starts with the, you know, there's white things in the air, talking about snow. I mean, I grew up in Colorado. Every year on Halloween, it snowed. I was like, why is this such a big deal to him to say snow? It's Halloween. We get snow.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess with Halloween, you don't think of snow being associated with being scary and everything. Like, I mean, you want things to be dark.
If they're out in the world going to scare kids, you'd think they'd see snow in some of these places, right?
Yeah, right? No, This Is Halloween is a really good number, but I really enjoy Jax Lamont. You know, just him singing for something new, something more. Yes. And
I mean, they're all good. Even like Sally's song is great.
Yeah, Sally's song is really good. Jax Lamont just has visually, I think, one of the best like shots of the whole entire movie of him just like singing the chorus, that big giant moon, and then the curling mountain.
It curls out, yeah.
I love everything about this number, and it's just a really nice solo number. But yes, you're right. All the songs are great. And I'm usually a villain person when it comes to songs, even though this isn't Disney. But like, when the villains get their song, that's the one I usually gravitate to. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen with this one, but
The Oogie Boogie song isn't bad.
It's not
Scar's song
that
cut from the new film.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different podcast.
That is a whole different one.
I'm the same way, because the villain song typically has like the harsher beat and like the music. And you're just like, oh yeah, I can get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Where this whole movie is in general, it has a dark tone to it. So I think that's why all the songs kind of like, oh, I like this mood.
Yeah, exactly. And I love all of the remix music and albums that have come out preceding this. I mean, this definitely left a mark in music history as well as movie history, because like, everybody wants to be a part of the soundtrack and just dub their own like version of one of their favorite songs. And
I mean, I love Marilyn Manson's version of this.
Oh my God, it's so perfect. Good. Yeah, no, I really like it. What is her name? The lead from Amy Lee from Evanescence.
Oh, yes.
She does Sally's song.
Sally's song.
Perfection. So yeah,
that
good.
That album, the album that came out in, was it early 2000, I think it was, that had all those bands on it.
Yeah,
it was so good. Really good.
Yeah, no, I really like it. So just from the beginning of the movie, I really like this whole, it came off at like a stage play for me. Mm-hmm. It's just that song that just really simplifies like what it is that you're getting into. They introduce as many of the cast as possible in this one number. You get an introduction as to who it is and what it is that you're looking at and what you're seeing. And I just like the presentation of it all. And this opening number is just so good. But it was funny. I'm like, did they use all 364 days just to do this one number? Because I know they don't need a whole year just for this one small ceremony. But I expected there to be like a town, like Christmas Town, where they go around trick-or-treating. But it just seems to just be a land of monsters.
Yeah. It's just the creatures that come out once a year. Like, I love how they kind of do the story where it's all... There's a little, you're in a forest and there's a little tree that you go into to get to each little holiday. Like, I want to see what the Easter area is and the Thanksgiving, what they're going to do in there and stuff like that.
I think that that is a brilliant concept to have just these realms, all of different holidays. I just think that's so cool. But I wonder like where the central like hub is, because it looked like the way that Jack was walking into the woods and he sees all these doors is mm-hmm. is Halloween Town the main one
with, the main, or, yeah, that's kind of what it feels
or do
like.
You think that every single town has literally all eight doors in their town as well, because it it just seemed like this was the hub.
I didn't think about it that way of like, because he does his song and he's just like walking, trying to figure things out. And there they are.
Yeah. I know, but I just love the concept. And the narrator. So the narrator in the beginning, Ed Ivory, is the same guy who did the Sandy Claus voice.
Okay.
I did not know that. So I read about that. I thought that was really cool and interesting. If you had to pick a door, which one would you most likely want to go through?
I mean, Halloween's my favorite holiday, so I would definitely go to the Halloween door.
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas
would be second. I was trying to notice exactly all of them that were around. I believe it was, they did St. Pat's, they did Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving.
And then Easter, I believe. Because they captured the Easter bunny at one point.
Yes.
And so, brought him.
So was that six doors, or did they do any other holidays that I'm not remembering?
I don't remember any other holidays.
I think it was just the six.
This would be something I'm surprised. Well, who knows? It may come with Disney Plus now of like, hey, let's explore these other doors in a series or other movies.
I would love that. I would love that. If there was a New Year's Eve door, I'd probably go through that one. I'd be most curious how they celebrate that 364, 5 days a year. But the St. Patty's only because green's my favorite color. And like, I just think that would be fantastic.
Thanksgiving door is everybody in there just fat and just like laying around to eat.
Probably. William Hickey, I think this is one of his last roles that he did. I'd have to double check. I love the fact that he's in this film and voicing this character. I thought his voice casting was perfect for this role. And yeah, it was just nice to hear his voice. And I obviously recognize him from other stuff that he did back in the day. But yeah, it was really cool to hear him in the movie.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of which voice he was.
So he played the mad scientist.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has that voice that you're like, okay, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this.
Yeah. No, he's awesome.
And I loved his little story of, you know, he's just trying, when he eventually creates someone for him, but he's the mad scientist. Like, I need some reindeer. Okay. Yeah, I can make those for you.
So good. Yeah, everybody seemed to be very resourceful. I want to know the guy with the axe in his head. I want to know his story. He's got me, because he's just so like nice, but yet he's an axe murderer, maybe. I don't know. There's a story there. I want to explore that more.
With a little, was it a little band? Like, what's up, Bone Daddy?
The jazz band is amazing. I love them. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
I mean, I just love every character in the movie.
It's so good.
I love the style. I have the book, and Tim Burton's artwork is obviously slightly different to it, but it's very, very similar to what they created on the screen.
Yeah. The story that we later learn in the movie is that mixing of the two towns is catastrophic. Like,
yes,
you're not really supposed to mix two holidays together, and it'll just cause either confusion or just some kind of like time, you know, continuing thing or whatever, and it just messes everything up.
Well, it's the mixing of the holidays to where one holiday doesn't know what the other holiday really truly does. So they're just taking what they know and thinking, okay, well, here, you got to make some gifts. Okay, we got shrunken heads. We got severed limbs. Cool. Perfect. Like killer toys.
So that then comes to the question, do you believe that Jack Skellington could be the actual villain of this movie? I mean, yes, he knows the error of his ways and he becomes the hero towards the end, but do you see him as like partially the villain? I mean, Oogie Boogie is who he is. He doesn't hide it. Like,
yeah.
But he stays ostracized. He stays, you know, sort of like away from everything. He's chilling his own lair. He's not really asking for trouble. You know, it's the three trick-or-treaters that involves him in this mess. But like, is Jack the actual villain?
I think in a way he is, because he does take this holiday of joy and cheer and everything else and turns it into nightmares. And I know you can look at Oogie Boogie as a villain, which I just think that character in general is that, regardless of what you do with them.
Exactly.
He's, you could even tell that Oogie Boogie, they have like a history of with him. And that's kind of why he's over there. And they're like, ah, we don't want him involved.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, he just seems a little too scary. He's a little rogue. Like, he doesn't play by the rules.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sure Oogie Boogie and Jack Skellington were like trying to get the crown, and Jack won and he got pissed. Something happened. There's history there.
There's definitely history there. Which, but you know, they can explore that in a, you know, series / another
movie. I would love another one. Yeah, there's a part where, you know, Jack has the epiphany and he's like, oh, I'll just bring Christmas to Halloween Town and, you know, go into, you know, deliver presents with everybody. It was some of the lyrics in the song where he was just like, you've had your fun or something like that, and like, I'll take over now. And, you know, if you had Christmas all to yourself, now it belongs to me. Or like, he just felt very like, I'm just going to take greedy. Over. Yeah. Very greedy. But him along with Sally, like, they just wanted something different. They're sick of the repetition. They want adventure. Yes. They want to explore. It didn't really seem like they both knew that these other worlds existed. It's funny how they've never discovered any of these doors in the past at all.
Yeah, and another, you know, I said with the snow, how have they never seen snow? Same with Christmas. I mean, Christmas, people start throwing Christmas up in like August.
I know. Can you imagine in Halloween Town if like on that very last day, like Mariah Carey starts playing her song and they're like, what the hell is this? Or Thanksgiving is like, they like no Mariah Carey whatsoever. You're banned from Thanksgiving land. Cause
you go to Christmas Town and all the closed stores are now Spirit Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. It makes sense. You know, a story like this, they, you know, want to explore different stuff. I like the idea of mixing the two. If you had made a sequel, what other two holidays would you mix up just to see some shenanigans?
I think it's one of those, like, I feel if you did a sequel, I don't think you could go completely outside of Halloween Town and Jack. Like, I think you'd still want those characters, but they're seeing, oh, there's other doors. Let's go see what's behind those. We've learned some lessons, and then maybe something else happens, or, you know, Jack and Sally have a kid that goes through a door and decides, I don't like this Christmas Halloween mashup anymore. I need something else. I know it's the same story, but
yeah, I wonder if they could explore this without using Halloween Town, like if Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving like mixed or something, and just see what happens with that.
I mean, you could try it, yeah. But it's one of those, I think people love the characters. They'd want to see Jack back or Sally back or yeah. any of those people.
You know what? I think they had a July 4th Independence Day door. Like, didn't they show like a firecracker in one of those trees?
It's possible. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember all the doors.
Billions of times, right? No, I'm going to look this up.
A few minutes later.
Okay, so yes, July 4th, Independence Day was the final seventh door.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, okay. I thought there was seven of them. Yeah, so that would be really interesting to see. So the Sally character, I wanted to get your opinion about this. I doubt you've thought about this, but just in case, she gets a vision. You know, she's a predominant female in this town full of men, and she's the only one who kind of sees what's going on, and she gets a vision. I wonder, does that have anything to do with her character, the way that she was made, or did somebody send this to her? Was it something that anybody could have seen and she was the only one to see it? Cause it didn't look like an hallucination. I'm sure if like somebody was standing next to her, they could probably see the Christmas tree come alive and then burn.
Yeah.
But everybody kind of takes it as a vision. What do you think about like any theories on that?
Making too much soup and the fumes from the nightshade got to her and she just
yeah.
hallucinating. I didn't even ever think of, you know, Sally's vision and her seeing what happens of like basically destroying Christmas.
Yeah. It's also funny that in this entire year, I'm just trying to think of a timestamp of how long it took for them to prepare for Christmas. And I'm like, Sally, this whole time you couldn't convince him. Like you tried once. And then gave up, made the suit for him, and then tried to sabotage it on the day. I'm like, didn't a whole year, because I want to say he discovered Christmastown like immediately after Halloween. And then it was like another 2 months or something.
They had the This Is Halloween song, because that was after the big night. The big night just happened. And then I feel like it was like that next day. He was like, I don't want to do all this over again. I need something more. I need to like spark it up a little bit.
So it looks like they either went past like that very next Christmas and waited until next year to try, or did they just do it in two? Cause I always wondered like if they went by the calendar year and like Halloween Town celebrated and then Christmas Town would celebrate theirs in December. But it looked like the clock had went around a full year to try and do this whole like Christmas experiment.
I think I always looked at it as they just did this in, you know, less than 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
So that way it didn't mess with, you know, he's on this different path. I feel like it would have messed the Halloween for the next year up.
Yeah. So now putting a critical eye to this to prepare for the review, I actually found some images to be like kind of creepy, not too creepy for kids, but there were things that I didn't notice. And I was like, oh, wow, they kind of went there. So first, the Pugsley looking kid, you know, there's
with his eyes sewn shut.
I never noticed his eyes being shown shut. Never noticed that. But then you add the fact that he's also on a leash. I'm like, what is going on with this story? I was like, because this mom's dragging him around town like it ain't nothing. And then his eyes are shut. I had no idea. I thought that was so creepy.
There's some creepy characters in there. That's for sure. Like Tim Burton's got a. I know a lot of the characters came from his book, and I'm sure they came up with some for the film as well. Like, I don't know the full for sure on that, but I'm only going to guess because to try to make it a little more exciting.
Mm-hmm. The reveal of Oogie Boogie under his yarn like skin body and revealing all those bugs.
Just bugs. Yeah.
That was actually, it kind of hit harder a little bit in this last viewing, and then he was just like, look what you've done. And I'm like, I don't know why that's creepy to me. It's just the way that he said it. He's like, now look what you've done. And I was like, oh, that's gross. But yeah, there were actually some really kind of creepy images going on.
There's a lot of similarities to films that in stories that you know, like Oogie Boogie, like, you know, when they pull his thread and kill him like that, I always imagine the Wicked Witch when she splashes water and she's just like killing her. Or obviously you have the Rudolph thing at the end of, oh, we can't make it through, but oh, Zero, your nose glows, you can help
Zero
us.
Zero's awesome. Yeah. Why do you think this movie is still popular today? Like, sometimes they'll throw in like, oh, yeah, come see
like
it in 3D.
Hot Topic.
Yeah. But yeah, like they throw in the 3D aspect. I think there was even a 4D experience one time. Like they try and change it up, keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. But what do you think keeps people going to not only watch it, but to even pay to see it in theaters?
I think it's, like, for me, it's just the enjoyment of it. Like, I did go see it in 3D when it came back out, which, yeah, it was okay. I mean, then they come out with the sing-along version, so you get the lyrics on the screen.
And I went to the sing-along as well.
And I think it's that same thing that every year people go see, you know, like White Christmas when it plays, because they just have this nostalgia for it. Or, you know, how people go see Rocky Horror like once a month because it's an experience for them. Like, this is kind of like, we were much younger when it first came out, and it's just one of those, we've watched it over years and years, and we just like, we love it. We love it. And now we're like showing it to kids and younger adults and stuff like that, that fall in love with it too. And it just proves how well the movie was done, that it can hold, you know, through generations. I mean, yeah, it's only been since 93, so it hasn't been long. I mean, what, 27 years, 28 years?
Yeah. Do you have a preference for this film or Coraline, as you mentioned earlier?
This film beats out Coraline, I think, just because of the fun I have with it, of like singing these songs and enjoying these characters and everything else. But Coraline is a close second, because I absolutely love the characters. I love the style. I love the dark story, and it's good too.
Yeah.
Pretty much any movie with like it does, you can throw in, just drop them in below that.
Now, as far as Tim Burton's like original characters that he's created, would you say that this is his best work? And if so, why do you think that?
Out of his original stuff?
Yeah.
Yes, because to me, the characters are more likable. Unlike, you know, he came out with The Corpse Bride after this than he did, which I still enjoy, but it didn't quite capture that same magic with the characters that this does. Same with Frankenweenie. He originally did it. It was good, but that one, I mean, you're just kind of taking a existing story and turning it into like a kid's story.
Yeah. Now, I really do love this movie. I want to say that Beetlejuice, I think, is probably my favorite creation of his.
That one's good, too, yeah.
A lot of people sort of gear towards Edward Scissorhands as their favorite. And, I mean, that's a phenomenal character. But Beetlejuice has always been, like, my entry level into sort of this pseudo, like, horror comedy aspect of it. Just being, like, creepy without being completely scary or disgusting to traumatize me when I was a kid. It was a really great threshold, or that line to just introduce me into that world of horror. And no, Beetlejuice is wonderful. But yes, Jack Skellington, man, I really enjoy this character a lot. And like he's like, I love the songs. I love singing to the songs. I love going to Disneyland when it's incorporated into the Haunted Mansion. Some people find it sacrilegious, but I love that transformation of it. And, you know,
I'm glad that, because this was released under Touchstone, which, I mean, the Disney company owned at the time, but I love that it's kind of they've taken it and like, oh, it's now part of Disney. I think when you watch it now, does it have the Disney in front of the front? I'm trying to remember if it says Touchstone or if it's Disney now.
But oh, that's a good question.
Into the parks and into everything. It's yeah. Disney.
Part of yeah. Disney. And I'm glad that it is. So as I said earlier, I mentioned that this movie was released on Hocus Pocus Day. And the reason for that is that these two movies are both under the Disney sort of, you know, roof. And they had to make a choice to release only one of them on Halloween. And they went with Nightmare Before Christmas and released Hocus Pocus in the summer. And a lot of people had no idea why something like Hocus Pocus would be released during the summertime. And so this explains it. It just gives both movies their own sort of space and air to breathe. And they just wanted to put their money behind Nightmare Before Christmas. Now, seeing that Nightmare Before Christmas could also be a Christmas movie, do you think they made the best decision to release this on Halloween? I mean, I know you don't have an allegiance to Hocus, so I kind of know your answer from there. But could they have just been like Hocus on Halloween, Nightmare Before Christmas on Christmas? Do you think it still would have been as popular?
No, I mean, they easily could have, but it might have been a thing that parents may not have enjoyed seeing that. Like, oh, why do I want Nightmare Before Christmas? Why am I going to take my family on Christmas to see this movie called Nightmare Before Christmas?
Well, I mean, look, when you have a movie like Christmas Carol that has a ton of ghosts and stuff in it,
true.
You would think it can possibly survive. But no, I totally get your point.
I mean, in all actuality, the families are going out to see Die Hard for Christmas. But
exactly. well, but like
it could have, they could have easily done Hocus Pocus Halloween-ish, the other, you know, Christmas. I mean, the other fact, Hocus Pocus, summertime, it's a bigger movie season. Maybe they thought it would do really well over the summer, too.
You're so generous to just give them the benefit of the doubt. And like, your loyalty is great. They totally screwed these witches, and I will forever be pissed. But
hey, witches are getting a sequel.
They're getting a sequel. Yes, I cannot wait. But just to kind of wrap this up, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas will forever be a classic. I love it. Tim Burton, again, I will always be a fan of his and his work and continue to be a fan. But I
continue to watch it, even though he's, in my opinion, kind of.
I was going to ask, where do you see, like, do you think it's possible for him to create more original ideas instead of remaking stuff? And like, what do we think about Tim Burton today? What's going on?
I would love him to do something original. Cause
yeah.
His last, like, I didn't like his Dumbo.
Yeah.
Did he do Mrs. Peregrine? I think he did. And I just didn't enjoy that. Dark Shadows, I wasn't a fan of it. Just, I want him to, yeah, I want him to do some more original work, bring some quirky characters and stuff out instead of trying to bring that quirky characters into an already established story.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. And fingers crossed, hopefully he can, because I think his vision is just so great. I still want his Batman sequels to come out. I would love for him to come back and do that. I don't care. Make it direct to you know, on demand. I don't care. Like, I need to know what he would have done. You know, Danny DeVito even said he wants to come back and do Penguin again.
Which, I mean, if they're just like Marvel, if they're going to open the multiverse,
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah. He says that it was one of his best, like, career sort of milestones, and he will always cherish that character. I would love to see him do that again. The Academy Museum of Motion Picture has an exhibit of a lot of, not a lot, but multiple Tim Burton stuff, including like the Cobblepot Mansion and just the landscape of the snow in Gotham and the cave, and also like Penguin's nose. And they had like a video of him like being like put the makeup on. It was all great. And it just reminds me that Tim Burton is just so good at what he does. And again, he's just really good at giving just that splash of horror, but for kids. And just, again, he's whimsical and the fantasy and all that is so great.
And I do. I want him to go back to that.
Yeah, so do I.
Not what he has given us recently. Like, give me another story that you can turn into an animated film. I know he only did, this is only based off of his story. He didn't direct it or anything, but give me some more of this stuff.
Exactly.
I'll eat it up.
Well, I mean, I guess you can rate it if you want. I mean, do you feel that it's like a perfect movie to you, or yes. Do you think, okay, it's
like,
a perfect movie.
Like I'd slap a 5 on it. It's hugely rewatchable because I do rewatch it and I love it. So
exactly.
I mean, there's part of, it's a good animated film. It's a fun story, a fun movie. And I mean, that's why I would give it a 5.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 5 for me too. It's wildly entertaining. It's short enough to keep a child's attention. It's 1 hour and 16 minutes. Wonderful, catchy songs that never get tired. And like, yeah, it's just a fun movie to continue to rewatch. And yeah, so 5 for me too. It is part of my collection, so this movie obviously stays on the shelf. Yeah. No, I could never get rid of this. Yeah, many people would be like, oh yeah, you see, I own Scarface. No. I own Nightmare Before Christmas. Everyone should have a copy in their home.
I have Nightmare Before Christmas bathroom towels. I have
nice
all kinds of other decorations. Like when my now wife, we did long distance first time she came to visit me, my whole bathroom was Nightmare Before Christmas. So it's, I'm like, I love this film. I'm not ashamed. Yes, I'm an adult. I don't care.
Well, Brad, thank you for helping me with this review and talk about Nightmare Before Christmas. This is one of my favorite movies, so I'm glad that I got to express it and see other people my age still enjoy this child film.
No, thank you for having me. I'm more than happy to talk about this film. I think it's the first time I've really got to like talk about it anywhere. So
That's why I'm here. Well, everyone who celebrates a holiday, happy holidays to you. Those who do not, watch Nightmare Before Christmas. It's the perfect anti-Christmas movie. You know, Santa Claus even talks a lot of shit a little bit in this movie. Like, it's a little dark, you know. This, along with Die Hard and some other ones, just make it a part of your list. Check it out if you have not seen it. And yeah, that'll do it. We'll have another episode in another 2 weeks. Remember, there are no such thing as guilty pleasures. Fuck the haters. And be proud of your taste in movies. This is Movie Geek and Proud.